Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shapka Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias. Joining me for this episode, he is the co-host of my other podcast, The AutorCast. Wes Anthony, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Movie Night.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And so for our listeners that aren't really familiar with my guest, so to speak, which is kind of weird for me to say my guest instead of my co-host. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm just this guy. I love movies. And, I've been podcasting on my own and appearing as guests on other people's podcasts, now this one as well. And then, of course, you know, we started the AutorCast a few months back, and we've been systematically going through the film careers of several filmmakers, and we'll be continuing to do so on into the future. We've barely scratched the surface so far.
Yes, and our listeners, you can find that podcast at autorcast.com. No favoritism why I brought West onto the show. It's kind of weird. My worlds are colliding right now, and the Shakya lifestyle I lead and AutorCast just all coming together as one. It's kind of weird, but I'm embracing it. All right, so the movie that we're going to be talking about this week is the new movie from actor, writer, director George Clooney. I believe this is his fourth film that he's made since his first one, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind? Yes. And then he did Good Night and Good Luck, and then Leatherheads, and this is his new film. It stars, George Clooney is in it, playing a governor running for president of the United States on the Democratic ticket, I believe. And Ryan Gosling is also in this movie playing kind of like this idealistic staffer, helping this politician become president of the United States. It's interesting with this character, Ryan Gosling. He's really idealistic. He's working for George Clooney's character, Governor Mike Morris, because he believes in the candidate. He firmly believes this man, that this man has integrity, and this man is going to be a great president. Philip Seymour Hoffman is also in this film, and so there's like this really great dynamic between the three of them. And Paul Giamatti is in this playing like the head of the campaign for the Republican candidate, and would be rival of Philip Seymour Hoffman. So, West Anthony, what are your thoughts on The Ides of March? Feels pretty interesting coming out right now. Because I actually had that thought, maybe this movie should have came out in 2012, an election year, but it opted to come out in 2011.
Yeah, actually, I think it might have been a little more damaging to the Democratic Party if it had come out closer to an election, because it's not necessarily that it slams Democrats or that it slams the Democratic Party, but it's just that the guy who is, you know, sort of in the center of this campaign that we're looking at it depicted in the film is a Democrat, and there's suddenly a lot of twists and turns and unsavory goings on, and it would be very easy for people on the other side of the political fence to, you know, point at this movie and say, oh yeah, what does this remind you of anything? And you don't want that. So it's probably a safe right, because I know George Clooney is a committed liberal. I don't know if he has any particular political affiliation. He may be independent for all I know, but he certainly wouldn't want to do anything to cause trouble for liberals, which is pretty much the haven of the Democrats. So putting it out right now actually makes a lot more sense from that point of view. And then also, it may be just that just getting it involved in any kind of political discussion will sort of take away from the fact that it really is just a great sort of character psychodrama / thriller. It's got some really great, exciting, suspenseful components in it, and you don't necessarily want that to get lumped into something going on in an election cycle. You really rather just sit there and watch the movie as a movie and just take it on that level, not adding in any other stuff on top of it.
Yeah, I feel this is a really good movie it's actually, I think, more than a solid movie. This movie kind of harkens back to like an older style of filmmaking that we would see kind of like in the 70s, like All the President's Men, something like, I feel like Robert Redford could have directed this movie like earlier in his career. It's a very good movie. I am hard pressed to think that this will be nominated for Best Picture next year for the Academy Awards. And I think this movie might also possibly, I mean, we still have a lot of months to go before the end of the year, but I think this movie is probably front and center right now to win Best Picture.
Well, you think so? Gosh, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of other stuff coming up. I mean, certainly, I know at least one Steven Spielberg film will probably be in the running, and is probably
maybe both of them.
Yeah, could be both. But then I'm sure there's a few other films coming up on the horizon that would also be, I imagine, fairly strong contenders. I don't know. As much as I really liked this movie, I don't know that it would necessarily be a Oscar bait per se. I saw another movie the same day, Moneyball, which I liked even more actually than The Ides of March, and yet I don't think that movie is necessarily going to get Oscar nominations either, just because A, it's not really doing quite as so well at the box office, and also because a lot of people seem to think that it's all just a big sports movie and a lot of people aren't necessarily interested in that. The Ides of March, you have the political angle, which I think some people might actually just be tired of. But also, I think as great a film as it is, I don't even necessarily think that it's Clooney's best film as a director. I still think that's his second film, Good Night and Good Luck. And he pretty much hit the trifecta there in terms of Oscar nominations. I don't know if this film is really quite up to that level so that he can get a repeat of that kind of action.
I don't think it's at that level either, but the Academy does love George Clooney, and he's definitely not at the top of his game here, but this is I'm diminishing The Ides of March by saying that this is still a really great, engaging, it's just refreshing for me to see a movie kind of made for adults, you know, like,
yeah.
They're not really telling you this is what it's about and this is what's going on. The characters' interactions aren't saying, like, this is what's going on in the plot. I mean, it's not plot heavy. I mean, it is and it isn't. The acting in this is great. I love Philip Seymour Hoffman in this movie. There's one scene in this movie where I think he gets his nomination for Best Supporting Actor, and this is probably going to be the Oscar clip. I think you might know what scene I'm talking about, but Paul Giamatti, he's also great in this movie and who's kind of playing this despicable rival. But then we get to see his end of why he's doing it. And really it just boils down to if you see these two characters, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Paul Giamatti's character, they're both like really just broken down and bitter and cynical about the whole political process, which is interesting to contrast with Ryan Gosling, who's so wide-eyed and idealistic.
You know, for me, the most interesting thing was the way Ryan Gosling's character did sort of start out seeming very idealistic. And as the story progressed, I was figuring for sure that somebody else was going to come along and morally compromise him and totally corrupt him. But it really kind of felt like he sort of came to that on his own, just as a matter of self-preservation, which... It actually, there's some moments in that transformation that really just kind of took my breath away. And there were moments in the story that I really didn't see coming. That's one of the things that I really like best about The Ides of March, is the way that it sort of did end up with certain characters where I figured they were going to end up, but it really didn't take the same road that I thought it was going to take.
Yeah, and there's a good comparison there with Moneyball, because I actually do think Moneyball will be nominated for Best Picture despite whatever the box office was for that. And I think Ides of March will definitely get the nomination for Best Picture. Both movies are just really about process, about what goes on behind closed doors. Both movies aren't really so plot heavy, and they just kind of show the mechanics of how a baseball team is organized through the GM and how a political campaign is run. Outside of the speeches, what we see behind the scenes, I find that to be very interesting. And I can't help but get caught up well, at least at the beginning of this movie, with George Clooney's character of this governor falling into everything that he's saying during these speeches and believing in this character and believing like this guy is the right candidate. But by the end of the picture, you don't think of that at all. You know, you think that this guy is absolutely despicable. And I think George Clooney makes that transformation pretty well, too. I compared it to a movie that we actually discussed on the AuteurCast, not to plug my other show, but Bob Roberts. Tim Robbins' 1992 film, his directorial debut, not dealing with a presidential election, but an election for state senator. I felt that those characters were pretty similar in the fact that on the outside they're charismatic and what they show to the cameras, but behind closed doors they're despicable.
Yeah, you kind of get the feeling that a lot of politicians are like that.
Yeah, and I think that's the point of the film, though. Like, despite the fact that even if you're Republican or Democrat, politics is dirty.
Yeah, and if you get too close to it, you can be transformed by it in a way that you're not going to like.
Yeah, and I think that's what I like about this movie so much, that it really didn't take that many sides politically, but it just shows that everyone's hands are dirty, no matter what your affiliations are.
Yeah. And actually, another movie that I found myself comparing it to was Oliver Stone's Platoon. Mm. In that, you know, you had the main character played by Charlie Sheen, and then you had the two sergeants. There was a good, noble sergeant, and then there was the vicious, bad, scarred sergeant. And it sort of seemed like a similar relationship between Ryan Gosling's character and the two opposing campaign managers played by Philip Seymour Hoffman and Paul Giamatti. It really seemed like that was another thing where I thought that maybe this relationship was going between these three men was going to play out in a certain way, in a similar angle with the Platoon, and boy, it just didn't go that way.
What did you think of the performance of Evan Rachel Wood in this film, who plays Molly, this kind of an intern for the governor, Mike Morris? Actually, there's a part. I'll get to that part of the movie where a lot of people were laughing. But what did you think of her performance as Molly?
I thought she was great. And I didn't even know it was Evan Rachel Wood. When I wasn't really paying too much attention to who was in the movie when I walked in the door. I mean, I knew that, you know, of course, I knew George Clooney, and I knew Ryan Gosling, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Paul Giamatti, and I knew Marissa Tomei was in it. I didn't even know Jeffrey Wright was in it. That's how...
Yeah, Wright was pretty great in this movie for as limited as he was.
Yeah.
Still kind of sleazy.
Yeah, it was just a very brief performance, but it was indelible. I really dug him. And so I didn't know Evan Rachel Wood was in the movie. And then because I'm not that familiar with her, I didn't even know that that's who it was when I was watching it. I just thought, hey, this actress is very good. I wonder who she is. And then when I got to the credits, I thought, oh, geez, I'm a big dummy and I know nothing. But she was great because then here is another instance where I thought for a split second that the story was going to, you know, zig, and it zagged in terms of her character. I really thought for a second that her character was going to turn out to be, you know, not what she was presented as in a, you know, dark, evil way. But then it went in another direction and it caught me off guard. So, and then sort of, she really turned out to be, in many ways, the most sympathetic character in the entire story.
She kind of gets screwed over a little bit in this movie. And she's been having a great year. At the beginning of the year, she was in Todd Haynes' Mildred Pierce.
Right.
Had a great performance there. And towards the end of the year, she does a great job in George Clooney's The Ides of March. I love the way this movie ends. It ends on just such a great note of kind of like, what is this character in for now? Like, we see him so idealistic and then getting down and dirty in politics. And then it kind of just ends in this way. It's not really hopeful or regrettable, but it just ends on this like really pitch perfect note. And I'm glad it ended that way.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. Literally, it's pretty dark. That's one of the other things that I liked about the film on a technical level, is that the way the cinematography, which is by a guy named Fedun Papamichael, I remember him working on James Mangold's remake of 310 to Yuma, which impressed me very much. And I know he's done some other stuff that I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think I really get the feeling, as you were talking about this film reminding you of movies from the 70s, and particularly when you mentioned All the President's Men, I thought, yes, right on. Because the cinematography kind of reminded me of the great cinematography done particularly in that decade by Gordon Willis. Particularly the way that the movie just gets progressively into a darker and darker palette until by the end you're pretty much just almost engulfed in blackness. It's actually a very clever visual scheme that that George Clooney is working here.
And speaking about being enveloped in darkness, he also did the cinematography for the 1996 classic Biodome.
Really? Well, okay.
Go check that movie out.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be as good, but okay, if you've got time on your hands, why not?
And there are worse other Pauly Shore movies. That's not the worst of his catalog, surprisingly. But with The Ides of March, I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was definitely more than solid, and it was just kind of refreshing to see a movie made for adults that didn't have a lot of big action scenes or just scenes just driven by dialogue, but the dialogue wasn't Sorkin-esque in the way that it's snappy and stylized. And just it has a lot of great moments and points, and I really like this movie quite a bit, and I'm going to stick firm to that this is going to be the best picture for this year.
Yeah, you know, whether it is or not, I loved The Ides of March. I think it is a terrific picture. And I agree with you that a good movie for adults is just a really an almost rare treat nowadays. It's just, oh, people swearing. I missed it. And it's just, I mean, that's kind of a simplistic way of looking at it, but in a way it is kind of true. Just to hear people talking like adults and not having to feel constrained by a PG-13 rating and, you know, just using turns of phrase that nobody would ever actually use in real life. So much of this film is just really wonderful. I dug it. I think everybody will dig it.
Well, let's get into, I guess, spoilers of The Ides of March. From this point forward, we're going to be giving away major plot elements of this movie. The one scene that I was talking about that, you know, you can see that this is the scene where Philip Seymour Hoffman wins that or gets at least nominated for Best Supporting Actor was the scene where he fires Ryan Gosling's character, Steven, where he talks about loyalty and what loyalty means in an industry like politics means. I was riveted by that scene. I haven't seen – he was really at the top of his game. That's the most showy, and I really felt that when he was giving that speech. In that moment, I felt that this guy loves loyalty.
Oh, yeah. It is a great scene. But you know what? I actually didn't find it showy at all. I felt that it was actually very, very true to the character. He definitely does seem like a guy who has these high standards and knows the importance of having high standards in something as high stakes as an election for a political leader, who's somebody who's going to be helping to determine the course of an entire nation. So I can understand. He, you know, his character, Philip Seymour Hoffman, at all times made me understand why his character has those high standards and why it is important to have them for his line of work. So, yeah, that scene was brilliant. That's definitely going to be the Oscar clip. I wouldn't be surprised in the least if he gets nominated for Best Supporting Actor for that one.
And the scene that at least my audience was laughing at, because it was kind of a funny line when Ryan Gosling is confronting George Clooney's character, the governor, Mike Morris, in the kitchen, you know, like after hours in closed restaurant. And he says, you know, as president, you could, well, I'm paraphrasing, as president, you can, you know, go to war, kill people, screw the economy. But we all know one thing, that you can't fuck an intern, you know, and everyone just laughed at that.
Yeah. Well, that line got a laugh in my theater as well. I think there's no way you're not going to know what he's referencing. So it's always going to be funny for anybody whose head has not been buried in the sand for the last 15 or so years.
But you get the correlation that I meant with like Bob Roberts, you know, because Tim Robbins is kind of like George Clooney in a way, like just tall, very charismatic and handsome. It's an easy way to like be duped into, I guess, falling for that kind of charisma. But then seeing that kind of turn, where in Bob Roberts, it's a little bit more obvious that turn. But here the turn just happens, I don't want to say kind of out of nowhere, but it just, and for me, like, I was kind of heartbroken. Like, this guy had really great speeches, and when he makes that turn, I was really heartbroken. And the fact that he didn't want to have Jeffrey Wright's character, the senator of Ohio, as part of his cabinet, and was like, well, this guy has integrity, and this is why he doesn't want the senator, because he's going to ruin the cabinet. And he even folds on that as well. Like, he does end up playing the political game for his own end, more so than wanting to do it for the people.
Yeah, and I think that aspect of the story really, really makes this film feel like a cautionary tale almost, and that we just need to understand that these people who are running for political office, they are human beings. They are not infallible. And I don't know if Clooney is trying to suggest that, you know, we should have more sympathy and be a little more lenient for towards politicians for the indiscretions that they may, you know, have in their personal lives, or if he's saying that, you know, well, this is the way it is, and we just have to, you know, it's a cynical world, as it were, and we just have to live with the fact that all these political leaders are terrible, awful schmucks. I don't know if he's really, you know, stressing acceptance, or if he's just, you know, taking a more cynical view of it. I guess that's one of the things that I liked about the film, is he seems to be sort of leaving it up to the viewer to decide whether or not, you know, you should just look at elections as just a bunch of sociopaths, or just a bunch of flawed human beings who, yeah, you know, maybe at the very least do have our nation's best interests at heart.
Yeah, there should be the watchman of political movies, and this might in fact be the watchman of political movies, showing that angle. And I thought it was pretty smart of George Clooney to make the governor, Mike Morris, a Democrat and not a Republican, because I guess as a Republican, it kind of, for me at least, would have been really easy to say, oh, this guy's despicable and horrible from the get-go. But
it's too easy.
Yeah, but me having that left-leaning, I'm kind of drawn into that more, and I think that's kind of the audience that he's going for, at least. Just, and I thought that was just really smart for him to play that this governor is a Democrat and he's running on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, it definitely sort of gives it a, strangely, an almost more tragic dimension, because I think if it was a Republican, I think more people probably would just go, well, yeah, sure. Well, why wouldn't he be doing that?
Yeah.
Because there have been so many stories. I mean, and not to say that the Democrats' hands are clean. I mean, of course, Clinton is the most obvious example. I mean, it was more or less referenced in that scene that you referenced in the film. But even a guy like John Edwards, who, you know, suddenly was revealed to have a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And that was the guy that I was going to vote for before he dropped out of the election. I really believed in John Edwards. And then everything kind of went kablooey and he dropped out, and then all this other stuff came out. And then I switched my vote over to Barack Obama when it came to the California primary here. But so I felt a similar sense of disappointment in John Edwards that you get with the character that George Clooney plays in this film. So it was definitely a lot more relatable for me than it probably would have been if it had been a Republican.
And just to think, like, the one character that kind of comes out, I don't want to say on top, but kind of a little more likable, is the Republican, is Tom Duffy. Because he kind of never really makes qualms of what he is. I mean, I like that when he said, like, when are you guys going to learn that this is politics? You have to get down and dirty with us, you know, and we'll always play that game with you because you're not willing to go that way. But us Republicans will be dirty.
Well, actually, he's not a Republican. There's two Democratic opponents of this. This was a Democratic primary. That's what was going on in this movie.
Oh, that's right, it was.
Yeah, so there were no Republicans to be seen anywhere. And that, which again, I think was sort of a good idea, in that by not making it an us versus them kind of conflict, Clooney makes it easier for you to sort of deal with the situation as a situation and not as an of ideology versus ideology.
One surprise of this movie that I found was Leonardo DiCaprio was a producer on this movie. It just seemed like this is something that he could have easily been in.
Yeah, it might have been that he was attached to it at some point, and then he just had to drop out to do something else. Because I've seen several instances where you see an actor's name listed as a producer on a film, and I always assume that that person was attached to the movie as an actor in some way. I mean, they might have even bought a stake in that project because it's based on a play called Farragut North.
He bought the rights to the play.
Yeah, so I'm sure he probably bought it with the intent of bringing it to the screen with himself as an actor, and maybe just got tied up with a bunch of other projects, or, you know, maybe he felt that he was too young to play the George Clooney character, too old to play the Ryan Gosling character by the time it was able to get to the screen, so he just handed it off to somebody else, and he keeps his name on there as a producer.
Yeah, because I actually, thinking about it, I do think he would be a little too young to play the governor, and I think George Clooney is pitch perfect in this.
Right, but a few years ago, he would have been perfect to play the Ryan Gosling character.
You don't see him getting nominated for director for this?
Gee, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, in many ways, it is his most polished directorial effort. I mean, again, I don't say that it's my favorite, but just as a big, large-scale kind of Hollywood film, it is very Hollywood-looking. It's got that polish. It's got that professionalism to it that a lot of people will respond to positively in the Hollywood filmmaking community, but I just don't know. Again, I also remember I haven't seen a lot of the upcoming movies that you've seen, and I think I prefer to sort of withhold my judgment on things like that until I've gotten a better idea of what's out there. So I can't really make that kind of speculation just yet.
Well, I guess in saying that, I'm still going to hold to that. When March rolls around and this doesn't get Best Picture, you know, you can punch me in the face next time you see me.
Well, let's not get carried away. There's some Ides of March for you to beware, my friend.
So I guess let's wrap up this episode of Movie Night. Do you recommend this movie to our listeners?
I do, very much so, wholeheartedly and without reservation.
Me too. I'd say go watch this movie. If you're a George Clooney fan, you'll like this movie. And if not, you know, I mean, at least you'll be staring at his pretty face during this movie. There's a lot of good looking people in this movie. Definitely the two leads, but, I highly recommend watching this movie. If not for the acting alone, it's such a great picture. West Anthony, where can we find you online?
You can follow me on Twitter at Dr. West Anthony and befriend me on Facebook at facebook.com/RadioConnellRad. And don't forget to listen to me and Rudy on our other podcast, The AuteurCast, which you can find on iTunes and at SoundCloud.com.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AuteurCast.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing The Thing. This is the prequel to John Carpenter's 1982 film, I believe.
Yep.
It was 1982, starring... Well, this movie is going to be starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And so I look forward to this. This should be a good one. And maybe we might talk about Footloose again. And I think this time I'm going to be definitely joined by the regular co-host, Perry Nemiroff. So thank you so much for listening to our show. Goodbye.